This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. Well, just a bit earlier in the show, we heard from some of you who struggle with overspending on things like first-run movie rentals and nights out on the town. Of course, getting unnecessary spending under control is an essential part of planning for the future and reaching your financial goals. Goals like buying a house, having a baby, or taking a big vacation. These are hard things to achieve even when you aren't blowing money on little everyday treats. Gail Cunningham joins us now to help us better budget for the future. She's with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. And welcome, Gail.
Happy to be here.
Now, if you listen to the show at all, then you know it's important to budget. But what exactly does that mean? Does it really mean you literally have to create a document and track everything you spend?
Well, you know, a lot of people consider budget a four-letter word. And I tell those folks that if they can't tolerate thinking that they have a budget, and if that sounds restrictive to them, call it a spending plan. But actually, a budget is meant to free up your money. You know, we work very hard for our money, and typically we spend it very casually. So let's adjust those to be in a better alignment by knowing where our money goes.
Well, what is it, though? Why does it have such a bad rap? And what are people struggling with the most? Is it just that sheer sitting down and doing it, or the self-discipline aspect, or I don't know, the emotional aspect of facing what you have and don't have and spend?
I think all of the above. Seeing your spending staring back at you in black and white is very eye-opening. And a lot of people feel that that might be burdensome, and maybe it is. But I say you can do anything for 30 days. Write down every cent you spend. Look at your spending and decide as a unit. You know, we're ordering pizza in three times a week. I think I could live with one time a week and move that money around. It's the only way you're going to truly be in charge of your money.
Okay, now that we've set down some guidelines, let's take a call. Andrew is on the phone from Silicon Valley, California. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So what do you do there?
So I'm in product management in a large but fast-growing technology company, and my wife works in the solar industry.
Well, great. You wrote on our Facebook page asking for help with budgeting for a house, but you also mentioned that you and your wife already have cut back on spending and you have a budget. So why don't you first tell us what kinds of things you're doing?
Sure. So we just moved. We were out in Silicon Valley and we're in Philadelphia for about 7 years and just moved back here about 3 months ago. We have, thanks to my wife, big budget categories. So we have money allocated to our 529K. We have a two-year-old daughter, so for her college savings, we're putting away as much, maximizing our 401Ks. But then we have rent that we obviously have to pay, daycare expense. You know, we don't have cable. We don't take huge vacations. But at some point, we'd like to buy a house out here. And I guess, you know, my questions center around, how do we do that? Do we stop spending on the things that we consider important? You know, do we take our two-year-old and put her in the fields and start working? You know, short of that, it's not clear to me what we
You're
should
really
be looking
considering
at.
All the options.
Right. We've considered everything.
And coming from Philadelphia, you must have terrible sticker shock.
Right. We knew about it because we started here before, and we did own a house. We were fortunate enough to own a house in Philadelphia, but you know, housing prices there were in the threes, could get you a pretty decent house. And here, you know, there's really not anything below 900 for, and this is not extravagant. I wouldn't buy that same product on the East Coast, but you know, for $900,000, you get a reasonable three-bedroom house.
Welcome to California. Gail, any suggestions?
Well, Andrew's doing a lot right. So first of all, I want to say hats off to you. You're prioritizing and you're literally putting your money where your mouth is. So good job. Now, I too find that daunting. I hear $900,000 to buy a modest house.
Right.
I'm going to fall off my stool here. But, you know, buying a home, we used to always tell people that that is obviously part of the American dream and is necessary for wealth building. And as we all have learned, some of us the hard way, homes do not always appreciate in value. So know that renting is not all bad. As a matter of fact, a lot of folks use a rule of thumb that if it's going to cost you 35% more to buy a home, live in that home month after month, year after year, then you might be a better candidate for renting. Also know that the hard, cold truth is that it's going to take a lot of money to get into that house. You're in a perfect world going to have to come up with 20% of a down payment. Now, admittedly, I need to tell you there are some entities that only require around 3% up front. So you could pursue those and that would make it much more palatable. But it's a lot of upfront cash, even if you decide you can swing the monthly payment. I think a good place to start is with one of the calculators. Many of those are available online about how much house can I afford. That'll give you something to shoot for.
Andrew, I hear Gail steering you gently or firmly towards renting. How does that sit with you?
It probably sits better with me than it would my wife, and just the only thing that, you know, is a consideration for us is how long we're going to stay here, right? And then, you know, the renting versus owning comes into play.
Andrew, I really wish you good luck.
Great. Thanks so much.
Take care. Thanks so much for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's take another call. We have Beth on the line from Oakland, Florida. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Where is Oakland, Florida? And I'm fine, by the way. Thank you.
We're 10 miles west of Orlando.
Okay. What do you do there?
I'm a second grade teacher.
Oh, lovely. Now, Beth, yes. What can Gail do for you today?
Well, I had a question about my savings. I'm very fortunate to have the summers off, and I would like to travel. I have about $7,000 in my savings account, and I want to go to New York for about a month. The only problem is it's probably going to take most of my savings, so I'm not sure if I should do it or not.
Ha. Huh. Do you have any other options you're considering?
Well, I also was thinking I would like to do something to supplement my income. So I thought about maybe purchasing a rental property with that money as a down payment.
Okay. So you're choosing between investing, a money-making proposition, and a trip to New York.
Yes.
And you sounded really excited when you said that. Is this a dream of yours?
It really is. I've been thinking about doing this for years. I love it there. And I figure if I can go there for about a month, it would just be fabulous.
I'm a big fan of New York. I used to live there. So I'm a little biased here. But let me ask you before I let Gail loose on you, what's holding you back?
I think it would take most of my savings. Just a room, I think, would be about $3,000. And it does seem a little self-indulgent. I feel like maybe I should use it as an investment, but maybe this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing and I should just do it.
Gail, what do you think?
Well, Beth, I think you have lots of positive financial habits, and so I applaud you for those.
Thank you.
I will tell you, though, I would recommend that people save towards certain goals. And I'm the type of person that I have to put it in different categories. So I'm going to suggest that moving forward, or even taking that money, the existing savings that you have, split that up between your dream money, your dream vacation money, and your investment money, and your money that you just need to have in case the bottom falls out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to add another category, that long-term money that those of us like Barbara and myself, we cringe when we have to say it. You know, used to, you would hear people like us admonishing consumers to have between 3 and 6 months' income socked away in the bank in case the bottom falls out. And now, since it's taking so much longer to replace your job, even in the education field, we're now saying 9 months of income.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's a daunting amount of money. And that's why we're scared to say it. I guess I'm feeling brave today. But really, you know, you worked hard for that money. Make it do what you want it to do. My knee-jerk reaction to your New York plan is no, because I'm afraid that you may come home feeling worse than when you went, because even though you had a good time and you have the memories to cherish, you'd be starting at ground zero again, building up your savings.
Right.
Now,
but Gail, it's a dream. Let her dream.
No, but you know, I'd like for people to make financial decisions with their head, not their heart. And so when you, that dream can come alive next summer or the summer after that. It doesn't have to happen this summer. And I want to keep you grounded. When we did our annual financial literacy survey, the NFCC found out that people's number one worry was a lack of savings.
Okay.
So that's a very uncomfortable position to be in.
And Beth, I feel like we just squashed your your great joy.
No, I wanted an honest answer. It's probably what I needed to hear. Not what I thought I was going to hear, but what I needed to hear.
Really? You thought we were going to say go to New York?
You know, it's to have use your money for the experiences, I thought maybe. I was hoping.
That's still true, but let's make that true next summer. And like I said, you have such positive financial habits. Just maximize those and keep doing what you're doing, and I think all your dreams are going to come true.
Thanks.
Not to undercut you, Gail, but I'd maybe lobby for 2 weeks in New York or even 1 week in New York. I'm still hanging on to the dream.
Yeah, I could do that. Make it a little bit shorter. That would still be a nice trip.
That's a nice compromise.
Yes.
Good luck,
yes.
Beth.
Thank you both so much.
I hope you have a wonderful summer, no matter what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Gail Cunningham is with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Thank you so much for this straight talk today.
Loved it. Thank you for having me.